What's going on, Fox Sports New Jersey? My name is Jared Eastman. This is the Stay Connected podcast, your Central Jersey esports podcast. Got a lot to talk about today. Keeping it a little chill, so we're not talking about actual games, but we're talking about pick rates and win rates of champions in the league, as well as some patch notes from Dota 2, League of Legends, and a shocking new record-breaking prize pool. So it's all happening right here on 93.5. All right, let's get right into it with the first topic I wanted to discuss, the LCS pick rates. You know, we're coming up to the end of the spring season. Only got a couple games left. That's pretty crazy. So, what are the top champions of this season? In top lane, we're going to do this one by one. We got Kassante. He is the most picked champion of this split. 28 times, and he's been banned 11 times. So, we've seen him throughout, like, I guess that's technically like 60% of all games we've seen him picked. Then you have wins. He is the highest win champion, technically, with 16 wins compared to 12 losses. However, Rennington technically has the highest win rate because he's been picked 17 times. He has 11 wins and 6 losses. So the win to loss ratio there is a little bit closer, weirdly enough, even though it's 11-6. So he has a win rate of 65%. That's pretty high for that level of competitive play. I don't know what his actual pick rate is for like silver ranks, but 65 is pretty good. That makes him one of the best top laners like in all of league right now. So I mean, he's got a good kit. I like his kit. I don't know how to use it effectively, but the one time I played him, I had trouble in the beginning, but in the end, I was able to do a lot of damage. So he's definitely a champion I might pick up. I might start picking him up because he is fun. He's mechanical, but not too hard. Heading on over to our all-time favorite jungle. A lot of people are actually saying that jungle needs to have massive changes. Even in esports, players are saying that it's just not right. You know, they did some fine-tuning for Season 13, made some changes, especially with jungle pets that follow you around, so the jungle items changed drastically, and it does have an effect, but I think there could be some better changes to the jungle. Moving on to champions, though. The top champion, it's telling me, is Elise. Actually, no, that's a lie. Technically, if we're speaking technically here, Kindred has 100% win rate. That's because they've only been picked one time and they won the game. So, of course, they're at the top, right? No, in all reality, it is Elise who has a high win or pretty average win rate. 4 wins, 5 losses, 9 picks, 50 bans. So, people just really don't want to see Elise in their games. And understandable. But Sejuani coming in at second, they have a higher win rate than Elise. 18 wins, 15 losses, 33 picks this season. That's a lot. That is a 75% presence in games. I mean, it's just insane to think about. I love Sejuani, though. Don't get me wrong. The other two, by the way, that are very close, and I want to shout them out because they're just amazing champions, Vi and Maokai. Maokai, at the beginning of the season, was one of the best junglers. Now we've kind of seen his win rate lower a little bit, his pick rate lower a little bit. People know how to counter him. And his ban rate is pretty high as well. It's 25. That's, you know, the second highest of the season. So it's for very good reasons, too. Heading on over to mid lane, we have Azir at the very top. Even though Azir's win rate is garbage, 38% win rate, 9 wins, 15 losses, though it's just the way it works, you know. 24 picks, 14 bans, 58% presence. Usually players that I see playing Azir, they're very good, like a JoJo Pune or even not Prince, who's the mid laner? Fiosic. Yeah, that's who. That's who it is. They're very good at these type of champions, so it's not surprising to see Azir. And then right behind him, Sylas. 18 picks, 20 bans, 58% presence, but a higher win rate. 12 wins, 6 losses. I love Silas. I love a good Silas player. You know, it's such versatile because you're able to take so many good ults usually from the enemy team. And then, you know, weirdly enough, Kassadin. Kassadin has a 0% win rate. They've been picked twice, banned 27 times, which is, you know, part of the popularity. They are the most banned champion of the split. So that is why they are, you know, number 3. Even though they have a 0% win rate. And then you have like Akali. My boy Chris loves Akali. I think she's a little bit underwhelming right now. Interested to see what they do with her in later patches, which we're talking about patch 13.5, which just came out like yesterday. Heading over to bot lane, obviously Ashe. Ashe has a 52 bans in the season, the highest. She's only been picked twice. One win, one loss. Not surprising. Not surprising at all. You know, I feel like that's wrong. I feel like I've seen her a lot more, but she has been banned quite a bit. You know what? This is counting for bot lane. That's why. It is wrong, technically, because she's been picked a lot more as a support. But just seeing her banned overall, yeah, it makes sense. Then you have Zeri, who's the actual AD carry. You don't do Zeri support unless you're insane. Caitlyn, you can do support, but good to see that she's in the AD carry. She was a strong, strong contender for some of those mobile champions. Just able to lock people down and maneuver around. Heading over to support. Let me guess. There it is. Ashe again. A 92% presence in games. Picked 8 times. 52 bans again. Win rate 50%. 4-4. Not bad. She's definitely a strong support. You have Lulu, who's an actual support. You have Nami, who's an actual great support. I've seen, actually, Nami has been banned 0 times and picked 26. I don't know why people don't ban her if she's so popular. I mean, that's the second highest pick rate for a support of the season, so maybe there's some logic to, oh, we could just deal with a Nami. I get it. But overall, those are your pick rates for the spring. I'm interested to see how this will really affect the next couple games as well as the next summer season and as well as the tournament. Like, these are things that people don't look at. People do honestly look daily at pick rates, at win rates, at KDA levels, at who's getting banned, what's their presence. Everything is important because that goes right into your strategy of, all right, my mid laner's going to pick Silas. What's a champion that really complements Silas? That's something fundamental at League that so many people fail at. And that is one of the main distinctions between a silver player and a platinum or grandmaster player. Of looking at the enemy team, looking at your team, seeing what you need, seeing what they have, and knowing the perfect champion that works well with your team comp while also ruining the enemy team comp. It's things like that that make that make League of Legends seem a lot more than just like a video game, right? Heading over into patch notes for League. 13.5 is out. Looking at some of these, there are some champions that are definitely important. First of all, Yuumi. The almighty cat. She has received some changes. Her base mana has increased by 40, while her health growth has decreased by a considerable amount, going from 84 to 69. She has a new passive. You know, when Yuumi's spells or attacks affect champions, she heals herself and charges a heal for her allies. That's pretty good. So she's able to heal a little bit more. So whenever she's attached to an ally, because Yuumi can jump between people to people. This is all in her passive, by the way. Yuumi builds friendship whenever her ally kills an enemy champion or minion. Each ally has their own unique friendship score. This is such an on-brand thing for Yuumi. Be like, hey, what's your friendship score? While attached to her best friend, Yumi's abilities gain bonus effects. That's pretty good. That's pretty good reason to stay on somebody. Her Q. The only real new thing about it is hitting an enemy with Yumi's Q now reveals them. That is huge. You cannot reveal stealth enemies like a Twitch or a Shaco. But this is still pretty good because it could give vision of either enemies waiting in a bush or a dragon that you're really trying to get vision of. I don't think it works on champions, or sorry, dragons. But if you hit a champion with it, you can get some vision that you might not have otherwise. It's very useful. The W has changed. They nerfed it. And this was a big problem for Yumi. And it's why she kind of had to be nerfed into the ground. Yumi, when she was attached to her ally, they received both received adaptive force bonus stats. That made people huge, especially if they were already fed. Like, you'd see a Diana who was already 5-0, see Yumi jump on them. It's basically like a couple extra kills or a couple extra gold on them because they were just doing that much extra damage. So that is gone. You now just have a best friend bonus as you gain additional healing and shielding power based on ally level, and the best friend gains some unhit healing. So they're taking away the bonus adaptive force damage and adding some unhit healing. That's pretty good. I like that. Her E, Zoomies, which is just kind of like a speed thing that helps people out. It also now shields allies instead of healing. I like that. I like the shielding instead of healing. Makes it a little bit more balanced. And then her ult is exactly the same. Aatrox, who is one of the worst banes of my existence. He got some nerfs. His W cooldown decreased later, which is good. Makes him a lot harder for him to snowball. Easier for him to snowball later. Where before, you know, it's just kind of meh. His slow at all ranks is now 25%. That hurts him. It is going from 25 to 27 to 30 to 32 to 35%. So it's increasing over time. That's really good for him, actually. That's really good for him. Is he getting nerfed? It doesn't seem like he's getting nerfed. You basically, hold on. You're not nerfing him. His W is a vital part of his kit. You're nerfing his R. You're nerfing his R, which is important. But not really. Not really. He's getting a buff. That's just the point of it. He's getting a buff. I read that completely wrong. I thought I saw Aatrox. I was like, they have to be nerfing him, right? No. What the heck? He's going to have 45% AD with bonus AD with a fully maxed R. Aatrox is going to clean up. I got to start banning him. Aurelion Sol is another champion I want to talk about because he is very, very popular right now. His health growth and armor decreased. Q proc AP ratio decreased. So his health growth is going from 100 to 95. His armor growth is going from 4.6 to 4.3. Base stats. Nothing really crazy there. His Q, which is the most busted ability ever, especially when you pair it with all of his other things. It is going from, I'm not even sure how to really read this. So burst proc damage, 20 to 40 is what it was at. Now it is 20 to 40 plus base level, so the actual AP ratio of that ability is going from 40 to 35% per Stardust stacks. That's not too bad. You know, it's not too great. I think he could be nerfed a little bit more, but you don't want to absolutely destroy the character they just updated, you know? Other champions that I'm really interested here is Gangplank, because this is a change that affects the entire map. All players for Gangplank, whose ability is E, he gets these powder cakes. He can have a maximum of 4 at a time with, you know, the ability being leveled up and stuff like that. He can place them down, then they go on cooldown after they explode and whatever. Or after he places them down Well, all players will now be able to see the number of kegs Gangplank has beneath his mana bar. That is huge. Because one of the main worries of fighting Gangplank is how many powdered keg barrels does he have? Because that's where a lot of his damage is coming from, let me tell you that. His Q does a lot of damage too, don't get me wrong. But paired up, it's just a deadly combo. Also, if passive is getting a little bit nerfed. It's going from 55 to 310 damage to 50 to 250 damage. So it's taking a little bit of a nerf later on. Not really too much early on. That's okay. It does still have, you know, the base on critical chance and base bonus AD plus 100%, which is a lot. But I like these changes. I think these are nice changes to the character. It'll make it a little bit more fair. Another change is coming to LeBlanc. We've talked about LeBlanc because there are some LCS players who are absolutely disgusting with her. She's going to get the new Q, which is going to give her mana back if she kills a minion with it. That's insane. Already busted. LeBlanc's going to be one of the best mid laners out there, probably. She's going to be one of the most banned. Or, I guess, in our ranks, not in esports. People could deal with her. She's not that bad. All right. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Talk about some changes to the International and Dota 2 because they are not happy with each other. Stay right here. Stay connected on Fox Sports New Jersey. You can check out all of our episodes on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. It's the Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. Welcome back to the Stay Connected podcast. Took a lot longer to talk about patch notes than I wanted to, but that's just the way it is. I get so invested in these patch notes that I'm just like, I gotta talk about it. Because I see one thing and I'm like, oh, that's stupid. I see another thing and I'm like, oh, that's absolutely busted. What were they thinking? A lot of busted stuff happening this patch, though. I'm interested to go home. I'm interested to play League and see how much of it actually affects the game. Well, either way, let's move on to our next topic. Dota 2 patch. TI, which is the International Champions, call out Valve for weak Dota 2 patch. This is not what you want to see. Because if you remember some of the episodes, we talked about how Dota 2 went from having the highest grossing, prize pool in all of esports to a, like, fraction of it. It was because of weak patches and weak battle passes. So I'm not exactly sure if this, you know, there's some correlation to causation here, because if you have bad patches, what does that really mean for people? They're not going to want to play, which means they're not going to want to spend money, which is the lifeblood of your international, which is one of the biggest esports competitions in the world, or at least it's supposed to be. So it's very underwhelming. Some of the top champions are saying the patch is pathetic. Saxa is saying that the patch is pathetic, so little changes. So not much is being changed with this patch. Other people are just saying they're shocked that Valve would even, you know, call this a patch. It would be like if League, imagine if, like, you just saw all the stuff I was reading off for the League patch. Imagine if I'd said, hey, let's look at the patch notes. One champion got changed. That would be terrible. People would be like, that's a waste of a patch. That's not even a patch. That's barely an update. So it's very interesting to see. I'm curious to see how this is going to affect the esports circuit as well as just the buy-ins for the battle pass, because people are just upset. I mean, just get better. I don't know. Moving on to something I wanted to talk about, because I saw this and I thought this was very relevant to Dota 2. Their record has been broken. Before, they held one of the largest prize pools in all of esports. Well, now a Saudi Arabian esports tournament organizer, Gamers 8, has announced a prize pool of $45 million for its 2023 event dubbed the Land of Heroes. That makes it a couple million, I think actually 5 million more than Dota 2's 2021 international figure of 40 million. So the total amount will be split between a group of esport titles during the event. So it is being split up. It's not just one thing of $45 million, which is a little meh, but it's good to split it up a little bit. So you have featured tournaments featuring, of course, Dota 2, your top esports games, which, by the way, check this out on FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com under the Stay Connected podcast tab. I put the top 10 Twitch games on there. So these are some of the games that you'll see in this tournament. Dota 2, Fortnite, Rocket League, Rainbow Six Siege, PUBG Mobile. No League of Legends, notably. Probably because they got Dota 2 in there. And they already have a Riot. Does Riot own Rocket League? I don't think they do. No. So they have no Riot game in there. It's interesting. It makes sense because you already have two FPS shooters. You have Rainbow Six Siege and PUBG, which I guess you could technically be third person for PUBG. And you have Fortnite as well. So that's three shooters, one sports game, Rocket League, and Dota 2. A wide variety of games. No fighting games, notably. I noticed that. Don't think you get away for that. So the initial prize pool for this tournament was originally $30 million. So they've gone up $15 million. It's a long way to come, you know. I'm honestly impressed, and I'm happy to see this, because last year was pretty abysmal for esports payouts. I was getting very worried. But to see independent people coming out with these big tournaments and, you know, having an amazing lineup of games as well as something for the players to actually work towards makes me feel happy. You know, I want to see the esports world succeed, as I think it will. So now that the record has been broken, let's shoot for 50 million. Well, that is the Stay Connected podcast. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. This is your Central Jersey Esports podcast. Next week, we will talk about some more League of Legends games. I'm interested to see how we are down to the wire, as well as we'll check up on the other brackets. I want to check up on the LCK. I want to check up on the LEC, even though I know they're done for right now. They'll come back in a couple weeks and start up their games again. But I just want to go over how their seasons are going, because that will honestly tell me if the LCS, which I think is having one of its best years compared to last year, you know, they were even good last year. I mean, look at all they did. They were sure they, you know, kind of fizzled out at Worlds, but that's just to be expected. Worlds is insane. It's a whole nother beast. But they were able to do some achievements that I think shows real progress. So I want to see how they compare to some of the plays that I'm seeing the LCK. Maybe they'll beat more LEC teams, because the LEC has been having it rough. So stay connected with me here on Fox Sports New Jersey. That's 93.5 every Sunday, 10:30 to 11. I'll see y'all next week right here on Fox Sports.